You're listening to an Airwave Media Podcast.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As a longtime foreign correspondent, I've worked in lots of places, but nowhere as important to the world as China. I'm Jane Perlez, former Beijing bureau chief for The New York Times. Join me on my new podcast, Face Off, U.S. versus China, where I'll take you behind the scenes in the tumultuous U.S.-China relationship. Find Face Off wherever you get your podcasts.
Monster House presents
Monster Talks, a proud member of the Airwave Media Podcast Network, home of such shows as Subtext, The Projection Booth, and The Daily Meditation Podcast. If you'd like to advertise on the show, contact sales at advertisecast.com.
Demi, what also is going on with you about extraterrestrial life? I don't believe there's anything out there.
I don't know. It's just, I can't fathom that we're the only life in the universe.
Have you met aliens personally?
No, I haven't.
I've seen four.
Right.
That, you know, I've seen four. So two in a high altitude sighting and one fairly close at the farm a couple of years ago. And then one really, really weird one in Montreal, at the 23rd floor of the Queen Elizabeth Hotel. I'm sitting there with some friends, and I see this. It looked like an air mattress, but 100 feet long by 50 feet wide, tipped over with the bulbs on the bottom, and it was moving slowly, you know, and just it stopped, and then it turned, and it went out over the river, and we were going, what's that thing, you know?
I had an experience with UFO when I was in Joshua Tree, and I was camping, and we were just, like, sitting on a rock, and all of a sudden there were fireballs in the sky. We were like looking up online if there was some sort of art festival that where there were fake UFOs or like a mountain or something that had fires on them that could look. We did everything that we could think of that could be like a rational explanation for these like fireballs in the sky. And then they like went away and then we kind of forgot about them.
It's actually quite unlike anything we've ever seen before.
A giant, hairy creature, part ape, part man.
In Loch Ness, a 24-mile-long bottomless lake in the highlands of Scotland, it's a creature known as the Loch Ness Monster.
Monster Talk.
Welcome to Monster Talk, the science show about monsters. I'm Blake Smith.
And I'm Karen Stolzner.
We ask a question in this episode that's not really the focus, but it is a question I find fascinating and one without a simple answer, which is why do we care so much about celebrities? Humans are complicated, but we're also animals. And we know that our primate relatives care deeply about status within groups, and so do we. Celebrities come in all sorts of varieties, but when we're focused on the activities of famous people, we're following an ancient instinct to give focus to high-ranking individuals in our society. It's interesting because these deep-rooted instincts come from biological drives that were developed in small groups of creatures, probably less than 100, but are now being manipulated to affect millions of us. Even for a self-identifying nonconformist, it's difficult to escape the influence of celebrity. I have several times in my life found myself in the presence of a celebrity that I didn't realize I cared about so deeply. For example, in the pro wrestling world, they call fans who believe in the theatrics marks, which is a term that flowed in from the entertainment's roots in the carny world. Fans who lose their cool in the presence of performers are said to be marking out. I'd like to believe that I am too cool to do that, but I've had several encounters where I met celebrities and made such an utter fool of myself to my own utter surprise. So perhaps you're immune to such effects, but I found that I was not. For example, I'm still quite pleased to have met the great comic book artist Bernie Wrightson, but if I could erase my absurdly exuberant babbling praise and just walk that back a little bit, I think it would assuage the embarrassment that still haunts me about my memory of that encounter. The point is that celebrity fascination is not only normal, but it may be inevitable given our evolutionary roots. And these folks have the same flawed perceptions as the rest of us. But that fact has done nothing to curtail the never-ending river of narratives that are celebrity UFO encounters.
Monster Talk.
So we don't have any famous stars to be on our show this week as guests, yet I think this may be one of the most star-studded episodes we'll ever have.
Mm-hmm. Because Matt's joining us.
Yeah.
Welcome to the show, Matt, yet again.
TV's Matt Baxter.
I'm a very famous name dropper, so I'll be doing that a lot.
That's true. That's true. We're all going to be name dropping. That's the point of this episode.
It's like the old movie, Death Race 2000, where the TV personalities kept going, a close personal friend of mine, Mr. President, a close personal friend. Everything was a close personal friend of mine. It was so great. For me and the other five people who like that movie. That's
admittedly, haven't heard of it, but I'll check it out sometime. I'll add it to the pile.
Yes, yes, please, please. It is a great one. It's a great one.
Well, so today we're going to talk about celebrity UFO sightings. And wow, there are a hell of a lot of them. I was just really shocked to start doing research for this episode to find out just how many celebrities claim to have seen UFOs. It seems to be a really common thing.
Why do you think that is?
I don't know. I mean, to me, when I think about celebrities, it seems to be something to do with maybe ego and attention. Certainly with some of the stories that I'm going to be talking about, I think that there's an element of that anyway. And feeling special somehow. I don't know. What do you think, Matt?
Well, they're often coupled with ghost stories.
Oh, that's true.
So not only do they believe in UFOs or UAPs, IUIs, they're really the thing is that anything that can, I don't know, make them stand out, because that's what it is to be a celebrity, is you have to stand out. But the bottom line is, mm-hmm. is people you meet on the street. I mean, the first question I always ask anyone is, have you seen a UFO?
Yeah.
And I get a lot of positive responses from that. So I would say that it's a common thing. People don't understand what they're seeing often, and they attribute it to, you know, the thing that makes them feel most special. But later on, I do want to talk about the mic drop that everyone gives when it comes to that.
I know what you're talking about. Well, let's start with some stories. And I'd like to tell you guys about a story that something happened to a close personal friend of mine, John Lennon. So I think a lot of people have heard of this story. I think it's a really famous one. And famous because it's John Lennon. He talks about this sighting that he had in the liner notes of his album Walls and Bridges. So he writes in those liner notes that he saw a UFO on August 23rd, so my mother's birthday, back in 1974. And this was at 9 p.m. So he was lying in bed at the time, and he decided to go out onto the balcony of his New York City apartment. So he goes out onto the balcony naked, mind you, to have a cigarette, and he sees something moving slowly over the apartment. And so this was during his infamous long weekend period with his girlfriend May Pang at the time. And so he's smoking his cigarette, and he notices these really odd lights flashing, and he turns and he sees this silent circular object. So the kind of stereotypical shape, it's dark in color, and it's adorned with these white pulsating lights around the rim, and it's got a red light on top, I guess a kind of cherry on top. And so May Pang wrote about this experience, and she says, the large circular object was overheard with no noise. I started yelling, it's a UFO.
So she describes it as being two or three stories above them, and it just cleared the rooftop of the next building. And then this flying saucer crawls past, and then it turns sideways and floats down the East River, and then hovers for a while before heading towards Brooklyn.
We had sound effects with that.
Oh, could you hear that in the background? Car going past. So it stopped short over a bridge, and then it flew upwards towards the sky. So they contacted the police and also the newspapers to detail their encounter, and were told that similar reports had been given about this UFO. So, I mean, this is New York, so I guess a bunch of people saw it.
Now, there's a celebrity thing to do right there. And your average citizen might call the police, but a celebrity has to call all the news outlets.
That's right.
Well, that's a good point. And I think that, you know, I was reading somewhere in the comments on a video of a supposed UFO that someone said, if it's the average Joe, I saw a UFO, everyone's going to think that they're crazy. But if it's a celebrity, it must be real.
Well, they do get that credibility pass. I mean, a lot of people, and people really want to know what celebrities are up to. So,
right. Mm-hmm. Right.
Absolutely. And especially John Lennon. So this event is also referenced in the lyrics of his song, Nobody Told Me, where he sings about there's UFOs over New York and I ain't too surprised.
Yeah.
So he insisted that he wasn't crazy. So his quote, he wasn't crazy. But this was his long weekend period, as I mentioned. So I don't know how familiar you guys are with that. But this was a really chaotic time in his life where he was separated from Yoko. She basically ordered him out after he'd had an affair. And so this was an 18-month period of debauchery, sex, drugs, rock and roll. Not terribly different from his life before, to be honest. But it makes you wonder what he was on when he saw this. But then other people saw it too.
Well, you know, that's the thing. You said that he was smoking.
What was he smoking?
And was she smoking some as well?
Probably.
I'm always hesitant to attribute any weird sightings to, you know, imbibing alcohol and other things.
But it's with like, this list.
Oh, no, I'm not saying they're not doing it. I'm just saying I don't know. It's not. I don't think it's necessary to invoke drugs or alcohol to explain why people.
It's always going to be drugs, alcohol, or owls.
Well, I guess my point is, you know, we've talked. It's a pet peeve. It's become a pet peeve. It has become a pet peeve. It's like people. I've been to bars. I've had a few drinks. There's no point in the evening when it's normal for people to start seeing Bigfoot and spaceships. It's just
that's true. But I do think you know, a lot of people saw this at the same time.
Yeah.
And I do think that there are natural explanations for some of these stories. So as for John's experience, it happened so long ago and we can't recreate it. There was no footage, no photographs or anything like that.
Just a song, a haunting song.
It's just a just a fun tale, but that's always been one of my favorites.
So were there a lot of other reports? I mean, some other people saw it, but were there a lot of other reports? This was New York City,
1974.
New York City.
But I will be honest that since we're looking at so many celebrities, I didn't delve into this too much.
Sure.
I mean, if we had focused on this, I think we could do a really good deep dive into it. But
probably.
Since there are so many other celebrities that we wanted to name drop, I don't know all the specifics, but I'm assuming that, you know, what you read about is true, that other people saw it, and it was likely has a natural explanation. You guys know how it goes.
Yeah. Well, here's an idea. If the listeners like the idea of doing a deep dive on a select few of the people we name drop, close personal friends of ours, we could, you know, do another show where we really go in depth on, you know, maybe pick out, you know, one name a piece.
Yeah, we can.
Cool.
For now, who wants to go next?
So whenever we talk about celebrities and UFOs, I always go to Jimmy Carter. It's because I remember when it was happening and people were talking about it on the news, because it was kind of scandalous that a president had claimed to see a UFO, you know, and a lot of people said that what he saw was basically he was at an event, and while waiting out in the parking lot, he saw a weird shimmering light. He had a very clear, like, his report was like something you would expect for someone who'd been in the military, giving, you know, direction, details, time, and all that stuff. But over the years, people kept saying, well, he just saw Venus. That's really common. And that was always, it annoyed him because, you know, he's something of an amateur astronomer. He knows what the planet Venus looks like, and that's not what he saw. And it's interesting because I had heard all kinds of explanations, but none of them really sort of covered everything. Like, it really didn't explain it sufficiently in my mind. But Brian Dunning, friend of the show from the Skeptoid podcast, has a new UFO movie called The UFO Movie They Don't Want You to See. And in that movie, he's got interviews with people from Carter's family and scientists and lots of – I rarely recommend people go out and see a UFO documentary, but I have to say – if in the nuts and bolts world, Dunning did a great job with this documentary, and there is an absolutely beautiful explanation for what Carter likely really saw. It makes perfect sense. The timing lines up. It wasn't the planet Venus. And I'm going to do a weird thing I don't normally do, which is normally I would say what the answer is. But in this case, I'm going to say you can watch the movie for free. I've put a link in the show notes. Not only that, but I'm going to link it so you can hop straight to the Carter explanation if you want to. But I'd say this was a great effort from an independent film producer and a cause that I care about. So try to check that out if you can.
I hope the check's in the mail.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was some serious name dropping.
Yeah, being a close personal friend of the show.
That's right. You know. It is neat, though. It's well put together. So,
I think a lot of things about this are interesting. I mean, was he the governor at the time of the sighting or governor at the time of the reporting?
While the dates are not entirely clear, Carter witnessed the unidentified phenomenon in 1969. He was serving as governor in 1973 when he was asked to file a report by the International UFO Bureau, which was based in Oklahoma. Like many presidential candidates, Carter said he would push for more transparency if elected president, but later pulled back from that, citing national defense and security concerns.
And I know that he said that it was white, and then it changed to
colors,
blue,
yeah,
and then to red. Ooh, red, white, and blue.
That's very patriotic. Yeah.
Destined for the presidency. Yeah. I think it was.
It was a UA Patriot instead of UAP. Yeah.
So what did he have to do with the Freedom of Information Act? Do you happen to know much about that?
I don't. Was he president when that was brought into being?
Yeah. I had heard that he had pushed pretty hard for it because he wanted.
He was big about transparency for sure.
Yeah.
And he also famously sort of gutted the intel community because he was trying to get rid of people who had done bad things, you know. And obviously that was super successful, and now America's intel community has a pristine reputation around the world as not being naughty at all.
Yeah,
right?
That was so successful. It really was. That was great. But it is cool that he never backtracked. And, you know, a lot of people think of Jimmy Carter as this guy with this, you know, kind of Southern drawl and everything, but he was he studied nuclear physics when he was in, you know, the military.
Yeah, yeah.
Guy is sharp as a tack, and you know, sharp as a nail to build housing.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, he's
an amazing guy, really.
We sent him to Canada when they were having a nuclear emergency. He was a big deal. I mean, he's really sharp, and he's amazingly, at the time we're recording this, still alive, even though he's been on hospice care for a long time. He's an elder statesman, and to me, you know, he's the first president I remember the election. Like, I remember being all excited someone from Georgia was running, and just it's just very funny because I was just a little kid. But Carter's got an interesting, I think, record. I mean, his presidency was troubled by inflation and lots of other stuff. He was replaced by Ronald Reagan, who is, you know, obviously a far superior public relations president. And ultimately, I think Carter's going to be remembered as a great statesman, and his post-presidency as being really positive and constructive and helpful.
And his UFO.
I see what you did.
And
there.
His UFO. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, he. It was pretty. I think pretty remarkable. Just how he did stand and never wavered in his story. Mm-hmm. And he was such a sharp guy. I think it was very impressive that he kept to that. And that's what makes stories like this so much fun, because we don't have the information to prove him right or wrong, but he marks very high in the credibility category, which a lot of the people on this close personal friends.
And as we all know, presidents are all trained observers. So.
Right. No, I mean, with everything he does, you know, we know he wasn't on LSD at the time.
He was not. That's right.
You know, he has a lot more credibility than say some of the other people we'll be talking about. So I love stories like that because they make it just a little more fun. You can't just discount it. You know,
sure.
Well, you have to do
next, Matt. More research.
We've done a president. Could we do a king?
Let's do a king.
The king.
Close personal friend of mine, Elvis. Now, I do have a 6 degrees of separation with Elvis, and that is my father used to run security for him when he would fly to Denver to get a peanut butter and banana sandwich.
Like you do. The best ones are at the Denver International Airport.
Yeah, well, it wasn't there yet. It was Stapleton. But he would he would fly here just to get a peanut butter and banana sandwich. I don't know why, but
amazing.
My dad was did some security for him in those. So.
Hello, I'm Paul Giamatti.
And I'm Stephen Asma.
Each week on Chinwag, we dig into the weird topics you wonder about, that you care about, the stuff none of us are totally sure of, like the Bermuda Triangle, Mothman, consciousness, philosophy, UFOs, ghosts, or, say, Bigfoot.
So who's to say that there's not alien species that are Sasquatch?
Like, I've seen a ghost, and I would hear something walking and breathing.
Maybe every path is right. I will accept as a premise that every path is right.
That is a face on Mars. Eyes, nose, it kind of looked like Wilson the volleyball.
Some people enjoy the waves or whatever, crashing, and I enjoy listening to a quantum physics audiobook.
I do think there are many things in the world that we just don't understand and probably won't understand.
That's our whole show.
So join us every Wednesday on all major podcast platforms and find us on Instagram, TikTok, and Twitter at ChinwagPod and Wagon.
We've got a podcast recommendation I think will be really fun and or useful for Monster Talk listeners. I Know Dino, the big dinosaur podcast.
Studying dinosaurs can teach us about the prehistoric world, but also the world of today. For example, migration patterns of dinosaur lineages can tell us about the Earth's changing continents.
Climate models of dinosaur ecosystems help us understand global warming.
Studying dinosaur diets can help show the link between plant and animal evolution.
Talk about paleo. In many dinosaur injuries, paleopathologies are the first known occurrences of diseases.
A new episode of I Know Dino comes out every week with new dinosaur discoveries you won't hear about anywhere else. You can find I Know Dino on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
See, his father, Vernon, there in Tupelo, he was out on the porch smoking probably something that John Lennon gave him. And he saw these
shotgun shack.
Yes. And he looks up and he sees these blue lights kind of dancing in the sky. And at that moment, Elvis was inside the shack being born.
Wow.
And so Vernon believed Elvis was special. So, you know, these blue lights did go on to be, you know, Blue Moon of Kentucky and Blue Suede Shoes. Blue Christmas and, you know, all these things. But the thing is lights would appear over him, Elvis, as he was growing up, and give him one time they gave him a glimpse of his future, showing him wearing this white jumpsuit. And, isn't that kind of scary? But he believed very, very deeply that, you know, aliens were here and UFOs are a real thing, or UAPs. And he didn't like to use UAP because he was EAP. So UAP caused confusion among his mafia. So UFO was what he liked to use. when he talked about this. But him and several of his posse would see UFOs on occasion, and believed very much, you know, that was a normal thing at this point, that they were here.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of bizarre, but I have to quote a very important man here and say that Elvis didn't die. He just went home.
Ah. I didn't get your EAP joke initially. But
nor did I.
His middle name is Aaron.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, we need one of those posters, you know, with the UFO sucking up the cow with Elvis.
Getting sucked up?
Yep.
That's a different poster. Sorry.
Oh, dear. Well, I guess I'll go next again.
Sure.
Or go around. And so I'll go from John Lennon to Olivia Newton-John. So I guess I got stuck with her because she was an Aussie, right?
Ah,
and a close personal friend.
And was a close personal friend. So obviously the singer, Americans, I guess, would mostly associate her with Greece and the song Xanadu. And
Tell me more, tell me more.
Yeah.
Let's get physical, stuff like that.
Yeah, anyway. Especially that one. Yeah.
Yeah, that one.
What a video. Wow.
It still holds up, right? When she was a teenager. So growing up in Australia, she witnessed a silvery object, so that's a quote, flying at amazing speeds. So that made her a firm believer in UFOs and extraterrestrials. So I think it was the only sighting that she had, though, and she really talked about it with the media. It's been kind of speculated that what she might have seen at the time was an airplane, but I think we're dealing with the same kind of situation as with John Lennon, that, you know, we don't have any footage or photographs, any kind of evidence. So this is really hearsay. But sadly, as we know, she passed in 2022 of breast cancer. She had a long struggle with breast cancer. And it was a couple of years ago that her daughter, Chloe Latanzi, the father's Matt Latanzi, the actor, she also claimed that she saw a UFO. And it was a blue orb. That's how it was described. And so she believed that it was her mother visiting her from beyond. And so she was quoted by the newspapers as saying that, "Mom and I had talked a few years back. We'd watch these paranormal shows on TV and I'd say, 'You got to do this and show up for me.'" And she was like, "I'll show up as one of those orb things." So she has had a number of these sightings since then, and is kind of known to be a little out there, but claims that she's seeing her mother and kind of communicating with her in this regard. But again, it's nothing that we can prove or disprove, but just another strange celebrity sighting to add to the mix.
Yeah, that reminds me. Sorry, Nope, I've lost it. You go ahead, Matt. Oh, edit that out.
Sorry, so sorry. Well, I think it's interesting that with some of these, you've got a very fast moving craft that can move like no earthly ship, or you've got a very, very slow moving craft.
Like zombies, I guess.
Yeah, zombie.
Fast or slow.
Yeah, zombie aliens. so it's just kind of strange, you know, I mean. Why go slow when you can go fast and make these maneuvers? You know, I mean, if you're going to go down to the store, do you want to, you know, do you want to walk and take in the scenery, or do you want to, you know, instantly transport there?
When they were going slowly over Lennon's apartment, I guess they were looking at him. He was naked, remember?
That's true. He was. Yeah.
They just wanted to see Paul. Was Paul there? Paul. Where's Paul? Sorry.
All's dead, remember.
It's interesting, though. Some of these stories, like the people who see the UFOs are also into other paranormal stuff. So, like,
crossover.
One surprised me was the singer Kesha. Who, you know, I'm an old fogey, but I like her music. It's she tells a story about, first of all, she tells a story about seeing and believing in UFOs, but she also has done a series where she investigates cryptozoology and monsters and stuff, and aliens and ghosts. And she, in one of the interviews, she's talking about it, like how she went out, I think if she was at Joshua Tree and saw weird lights and, you know, felt like they were trying to be contacted. But as she's recounting the story to these radio hosts, she also mentions, oh, and we had this guy named Carl who lived in our basement. He was always talking about aliens. And, it was like, and then she keeps going on. And then the interviewers come back to her like, about this guy, Carl. She goes, oh, yeah, that was a long time ago. Like, that, it's just like he was this – the way she threw it out there, like, it really left the impression that Carl was still there living in her basement and just would occasionally come upstairs and say something about aliens to go back downstairs. I'll put a clip in there for that.
Yeah, when I think about her, I think about when I was researching ghosts or people having sex with ghosts and demons.
Yeah, oh, yes. You
do. Yeah, that she is one of many who have claimed to have had experiences in that regard. So, now, yeah, she's definitely got that crossover going.
Exactly. We've talked about sleep paralysis, incubus and succubus and all that stuff. It's like... you know, I don't know how informed she is on all that as possible mundane causes, but that stuff, it can be incredibly convincing.
Dreams as well.
Exactly. It's like people who have who actually achieve sexual climax during these encounters, you know, I would still say that's mostly the positive side of it. I mean, people have some pretty traumatic experiences that way. So,
Shadow people.
Yeah. It's like, I don't think it has to be supernatural to be absolutely authentic and sincerely believed. So.
Sure.
Mm. True. It is strange just how these things happen in different ways. I mean, there's some that come down to actual contact, like Sammy Hagar believes that his brain had kind of a uploaded thing, you know, through telepathy. And still don't know what the results of that.
The results of that is Cabo Wabo.
Yes. but he truly absolutely believes that all that happened. Now listening to his story, it does sound a lot like sleep paralysis, you know, to the trained eye. But it's an interesting thing that these either the stories are really similar or they're really out there. Mm-hmm. You know, and you got Tom DeLonge from Blink-182. Who he quit the band so he could go and start his thing called To the Stars, where he would, I guess, argue with the White House about what they need to release. Yeah. And
wow. Really.
And the thing is, it's funny because, you know, it really makes it sound like he's some kind of hero that won against the government. And they had to finally break down because, you know, his riffs were just too sweet. I don't know what it is, but that they just had to give up and release all this information that turned out to be nothing, in my opinion. From what I've seen, I don't see anything that really impresses me yet. But it is really being thrown up as, you know, Tom was right. And now how he can go on. You know, Larry King and discuss zero point energy, you know, because all his years of playing guitar really taught him a lot about that. So, you know, it is kind of strange the different stories. But when you start talking about, you know, celebrities and musicians and actors, when it comes to beliefs about things and in particular UFOs or UAPs, this list is not exhaustive.
No, not even close.
It's not even close because there are so many that are just over the top. But they end, all of them, all the ones that I've seen and looked into, all end with almost the identical mic drop. And that is...
I know where you're going.
Yeah. It would be the height of arrogance to believe that we are alone in the universe.
Yeah.
Done. Okay. You win. You saw a little green man that probed you.
Yeah. I mean, that the interesting thing, most of the cases I looked at, it's people seeing weird stuff in the air that they can't explain. And that is not shocking or surprising. It's what people make of it that's shocking and surprising. It's like we see weird stuff all the time. We've had Mick West on talking about the ways people can misunderstand what they're seeing in the air. It's incredibly difficult. You guys have done experiments talking about, you know, how cameras can lie, and just there's so many things that you can see that are weird and unusual, and actually, if you really dug in on it, completely explainable and mundane. But who has time to
devote
it? Yeah, right. It's just, and sometimes it's not recreatable, you know?
And how boring is that?
Can I give you an example of a case that has been researched by skeptics who came up with a possible solution or explanation for one of these celebrity claims?
Sure.
So Russell Crowe, again, I get stuck with the Aussies. And so this sighting goes back to March 2013, and he tweets about a supposed UFO that he saw over the Royal Botanic Gardens in Sydney. So this was looking out of the window of his office there. So he writes, UFO.
Is he naked?
Probably.
Was he smoking?
Are we entertained?
So
we're getting there.
He tweets this, or X's it. So UFO, time-lapse photos outside RC's Woolloomooloo office. Now I know why I had to do this one, because you guys couldn't pronounce Woolloomooloo.
Voluminous.
These are real. So that's what he tweeted. And so the weird thing about this is that when he tweeted this, the video was already 4 years old, which is kind of
No, that's
suspicious.
A time lapse.
Yeah, I didn't look at it that way. So it's been speculated that he was unhappy with the promotion of a movie that had just come out around that time. And I don't know exactly which movie it was, because I think 3 came out that year, but I think it was Broken City, maybe.
Yeah, I think
and
so.
And he was kind of angling for some extra publicity.
Yeah.
So what was this video really of? There are a couple of people out there who did some investigation into this, and it seems like Crowe's UFO is most likely a series of long exposure photos of a passing sailboat that's got a high mast. So he saw this, the Royal Botanic Gardens, you've got the water right there. And Matt did a little quickie experiment for me this morning too, just showing me how that works, taking a photograph of our cat. And it did look a little bit like this this video. You can go and check it out on YouTube. Go and see this video to this day. But I think it's a good natural explanation for one of these UFO sightings, a recent one.
Does that make this a mast delusion?
Indeed. Nice.
At least a mast illusion.
That's right.
But the thing is that he didn't claim that he saw the UFO and that's why he was taking the pictures. It was looking at the pictures after the fact, which we all know is a huge hallmark of a misunderstanding.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Yep, for sure. But yeah, it's a famous one that the people seem to invoke a lot.
So do you want to say anything about this mic drop quote that everyone uses? Because it seems to me that it's being used inappropriately and wrongly. Because I think one of the person who was actually famous for saying it was Stephen Hawking. But he wasn't trying to back up a sighting. You know, he was trying to say that we have a big universe.
Mm-hmm.
And that's arrogant to believe. Well, I think it's arrogant to believe that you are the only person that just saw an alien or just saw a UFO.
Yeah, I think it feeds into the discussion that we had earlier, talking about the arrogance and ego of a lot of these celebrities and that need to feel special and that they have been. Oh, do you remember, Matt, we were watching a video about Will Smith talking about his encounters and his experiences. And he was talking about how he would have this conversation with the aliens and say, look, I'm important to the people on Earth, and
I'm important
to
my
here.
People. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that
I have people to slap.
The arrogance to believe that we're the only ones in this universe is, you know, reflective of their own arrogance, that they're special, and that's why they're seeing these things. That it's a gift or something from the universe. I don't know.
Well,
because they're so important.
That's funny you would say that, because the we talk a little bit about, you know, people love celebrities, but that's not a casual thing. That's like a deep-seated thing in our biology where we care about status. And it's like, if you look at other primates, like there's leadership and status, like these roles are super important. It's like, on the one hand, I think there's a tendency among people who are interested in this sort of a mechanical perspective, like what is the thing, you know, it, like you're not probably thinking in terms of like, what is the social relevance of making these claims? Like, what does it do for you? And those matter too, like beyond the nuts and bolts, or literally the nuts and bolts of, is this a real physical object? Is it from Earth? Is it from another planet? Whatever. It's the, if I tell this story, how does me as telling this experience change your perception of me as a person? Does it, you know,
and
that's kind of amazing. And they're always in a performance mode when they're talking to reporters, you know, like whatever they're promoting, and they've got to tell these same talking points over and over again. So being asked about something that's off topic from whatever's being promoted is, I get one of the little journalistic, you know, way to get a sound bite, you know, it's not about, and then if you say something negative about somebody, it turns into like a giant beef where people are, you know, why does this person hate this person? Click here to find out. It's like, it had nothing to do with the beef. It's just, you know, so there's the ecosystem of, you know, we, you know, any celebrity story is like a cow digesting, you know, grass. It has to be digested five ways to Sunday to, like, before we get all the calories out of it, move on to the next thing, you know.
For sure, yeah. And I think that, you know, you have some people who really have a persona, which is associated with the paranormal. I don't know how much more time we've got and how many more stories we want to go into, if any.
I want to do this quickly. The one of these I looked into was Demi Lovato, because she's another one of these who celebrities who've talked about ghosts and psychic powers and UFOs and all this sort of thing. And she's doing this interview on Howard Stern where she's talking about UFOs, and she says she's seen them. And then she says what I found really interesting. She often goes out and meditates to prepare to find them. So like, she's putting herself into an expectant state. To try to make this contact. But this is old stuff, like this idea of trying to make psychic communication. Speaking of celebrities, like there's that Carpenter song, Calling Occupants of Interplanetary Craft. And that was from a 1950s psychic effort from like a UFO watcher group to try to get people to all collectively on the same date and same time reach out mentally to these creatures. Anyway, her stuff sounds a lot like what's called CE5, which comes out of the work of Stephen Greer. And it appears to be like, it used to be like Stephen Greer's, you know, order my course, learn to talk to aliens. And now it seems like it's become a standard mode of interacting, you know, going out into the field, meditating, contemplating, maybe taking a flashlight and trying to interact with the creatures or the entities or the ships or whatever they are. So it's, even at what might just be a casual celebrity level, these concepts are bleeding out there and being more mainstreamed, I think.
Yeah, Dr. Stephen Greer likes to come out to the UFO Watchtower here in Colorado and charge an arm and a leg for people to come out with their flashlights and commune with the aliens.
Yes.
So, and yeah, when you look up at the sky for a long time, especially if there's not a lot of light pollution from, you know, nearby city, you can see some crazy things that you're not expecting. I mean, do you know, sitting in your living room, what a satellite looks like?
Yeah, or a Starlink string of them. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, or a meteor. You know, there's just so many things that, you know, we don't, if you're not out there and somewhat experienced with it, you don't know what you just saw.
Yeah.
Because
I see parallels with the discussions we've had previously a lot about people seeing a mangy dog and thinking it's a chupacabra and just not understanding the kind of fundamentals about farming or animals and decomposition. So I think you've got something similar going on here where most people, and I'll speak for myself, I don't know. If I see something, lights in the sky, I probably assume it's going to be an airplane or something like that. But for the most part, I'm not familiar with a lot of these other natural things that could be in the sky.
So, Blake, have you ever seen anything that you think may not be of this earth?
Not as an adult. As a kid, most everything I saw was mysterious, and I thought it was aliens and, you know, but UFOs.
Fun times.
Extraterrestrials. But as I got older and learned, basically I learned my way out of it. Like, I learned how to figure out what's an airplane, what's not an airplane. I mean, you still see weird things. Every now and then I'll see one of my favorite illusion is when you get a parallax view and it looks like a plane is just hovering in the air, even though it's not.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. It's so compelling. It looks so much like you've caught a plane that's about to be hoisted up into a spaceship or something. But, you know,
well,
or
especially
it's,
when you're the only thing you're seeing is the reflection, you know, of the sun or something on them. So it just looks like a golden orb.
Yeah. Oh, sun, you know, dogs. That's another weird mm-hmm. one. You know, like there's a
yeah.
But the more you learn about what aerial phenomena can be and the ways that human eyes can be tricked, the less mysterious the world gets. But there's plenty of other mysteries out there that are legitimate questions. But, you know, we don't all have
Absolutely.
Time for that, you know. So
yeah.
Well, Karen and I saw something one night. We were mm-hmm. out. We were out driving, and it was night, and there was a lot of clouds in the sky. And suddenly it looked like there were these kind of strange explosions happening within the cloud, but they were red.
Ooh, cool. Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't like lightning going off. It was more of an explosion type look. And it was just incredible. Both of us saw it. We couldn't figure out what it was. And then we woke up 3 days later naked and just kind of brushed it off as nothing.
Yeah. It's probably nothing. That sounds right. Yeah.
it was interesting at the time, but I don't think I immediately jumped to UFO. I think we obviously joked about that. But not knowing to this day what it was, we even read newspapers and tried to find out if anyone else had seen it or talked about it. We couldn't find anything, not even with the local kind of forums for the local
stuff.
Community. Well, or community-based stuff. We couldn't find anything. But I didn't jump to UFO. I just thought, oh, it's something natural that I can't explain right now. But it is interesting to
I would have assumed it was Kal-El fighting some other Kryptonian, you know, which is always
could have been.
That's probably
didn't think of that.
Could have been Tom Cruise.
Speaking of celebrities, but
oh gosh,
yeah. I think we have so many celebrities here. We did research on, but I'll tell you what I'll do is because we're out of time, I will put links to a lot of these in the show notes. So if you enjoy reading
Good
celebrity accounts of UFO encounters, well, there'll be a bunch of them. Check them out.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Monster Talk.
You've been listening to Monster Talk, the science show about monsters. I'm Blake Smith.
And I'm Karen Stolzner.
You just heard a discussion with Karen and guest Matt Baxter about celebrity UFO encounters. Do you have a favorite celebrity UFO story? Do you have thoughts about why we can't stop following celebrity stories in the media? Share your ideas on our Patreon comment section at patreon.com/monstertalk. Monster Talk theme music is by Pete Stealing Monkeys. I know we've likely never met, yet I can't help but feel like you're all
a very dear friend of mine.
Been a Monster House presentation.
And we have this guy live in our basement named Carl who always talks about aliens and blah, blah, blah.
Okay, have a crappy weekend. Hope your house burns down.